With pleasure, David Kiesler here. Welcome to everyone on today's new GTLD review group call on Friday the 25th of January at 1600 UTC. On today's call we have Dev Anand-Tillitsing, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Tom Leuvenhaupt, Eduardo Diaz, Fatimata Seyesila, Adela Dansu, Justine Chu, Uriel Ansipuro, and Kenny Huang. We have from staff Silvia Vivanco and myself, Gisela Gruber. I don't have any apologies noted, and I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and also staff will be taking action items if you please clearly state them, and a transcript will be made available within 48 hours. Thank you. Over to you, Dev.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Dev Anand-Tillitsing speaking, and well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. So we have just done the roll call. There is probably one suggested change to the agenda. About a few hours ago, we received comments, the GTLD review group received comments regarding the .health string. I posted a link in the chat as to the link to the comment that was made. I suggest you probably take a look at it after we've looked at the existing strings that we're going to be looking at today. I'm not expecting to be any detailed discussion since the information is so new. So that's probably the one change to the agenda. Obviously, if anybody has any questions or objections, please, you know, raise their hand. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is, of course, review update of the review group's statements of interest. For those who are not on the last call, I wanted one update to the review group statements of interest was related to myself. I'm now an ALAC member. I don't perceive any conflict of interest as such. But of course, again, if anybody wishes to raise any concerns or comments, you can do so. If anybody has any other updates in terms of their statements of interest, you can do so now. Okay. I'm not seeing anybody raising their hand or seeing anything, so I assume there's no further updates on that. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the review of the last GTLD review group call. This call was done on Monday, January 21st, and thanks to the availability of transcripts, I'm sure most persons would have read the transcript, and I also posted a summary of the outcomes from that meeting, and I'll just post the link there. For those persons in the AC room. To summarize, in terms of the comments on multiple strings by RJ Glass, since it was not directed at any specific application, we're going to refer it to the new GTLD working group and acknowledges his submission. Regarding the comments on .Africa by Badwin Shroom, since there was an expression of support for an applicant for .Africa, there was no objection concerns raised, either limited or limited public interest for community, so no further action needed. Regarding .CBA, no public interest objection concerns raised, and as CBA was an acronym which has multiple significance, the comment does not raise sufficient community objection concerns. And therefore, we will not look at drafting an objection statement. I note that there was also an additional comment on the wiki regarding .CBA, essentially reinforcing that fact. I think the comment was from Evan Leibovich. And regards to the rest of the strings, .Amazon, .NYC, .Patagonia, we're now going to try to look at the community objection test and see if what's the best way to proceed regarding these strings. Does anybody have any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns? Let's see. Okay, very well. So let's now move ahead to the discussion of any comments raised on a new GTLD dashboard. So we have so let's look at the first one, which is .amazon. Now, I should note that Adela has very helpfully come up with a doc file that was posted to the list earlier today, and which breaks down the four tests and for an objection to be considered on the community grounds. It must be a clearly delineated community. There's substantial opposition within the identified community, targeting a strong association between the applied for GTLD string and the community, and detriment. There's a likelihood of material detriment to the rights of legitimate interest of a significant portion of the community. So we're now going to look at .amazon, and I'll just post the link to the Amazon.
Deb, this is Eduardo.
Sure, Eduardo, please go ahead.
Are you connected to the Adobe or not?
I am in time connected to the Adobe. Oh, yes.
There is a document there. Is that the one that you're referring to?
Yes, this is what Adela has. Did the table. Can staff give scrollability to the documents?
Right.
So that everybody can scroll it.
Thank you.
Dev, it's Olivia. You can too. You're also running the show here, so you can also press the sync button that will unsync. That gives scrollability to everyone.
Okay. I see. I could do it.
Bravo.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I think everybody should be able to scroll it now. So let's do it. Going back to .amazon. Let's see now where this might be. I noticed Justine had raised 2 points regarding the .amazon. Justine, would you like to take the floor to just simply go over your questions or your concerns?
This is Eduardo again, Eduardo Diaz. Can you repeat what you just said? Because I got to admit something. Thank you.
Okay, Eduardo. I'm saying Justine is typing. Maybe she can't really. Maybe she's connected on the AC and isn't connected to the audio. Eduardo. Okay. Well, all right. I can narrate it. Justine asks the following question. Regarding targeting, is there not a strong association between .amazon and Amazon customers around the world? Does and should the association with the South American region of Amazon prevail over the association Amazon customers have with the applicant? And then the other question was on detriment. Can anyone point me to an existing effort by any entity or person aimed at developing, promoting, and protecting the Amazon region? If yes, why have we not had any objections for such an entity or person? So those were the questions. So to answer the second part of the question, has any entity raised any concerns? The GAC, the governments of Brazil and Peru, have issued advice on this. And I'll just post the GAC advice in the chat here. Essentially, the GAC advice was saying essentially that the Amazon region lies within several territories, Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Guyana, Peru, Suriname, and Venezuela, and it noted that the application did not receive support from these governments, and therefore this is the reason for their early warning advice. And the possible remediation steps by the GAC members was that the applicant should then withdraw their application. So that's the answer to Justine's comment. Regards to the first one regarding targeting, is there not a strong association between Amazon and Amazon customers around the world? Yes, I would say tentatively I would think yes. I'm not sure though that whether the association should prevail over the association regarding the Amazon community, as some have raised the objection comments on, over the Amazon.com community, the commercial entity. I'm just want to open this up to questions here, so because I'm just want to hear what other people think about Amazon and looking at the four tests regarding community, substantial opposition, targeting, and detriment. I would like to open the floor to anybody to make a comment. Edward, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Eduardo Diaz. From the community standpoint and looking at the GAC early warning, I think the community is clear delineated by, you know, this countries that they mentioned the GAC early warning. I'm not looking at each bullet myself. I'm giving a general opinion on the community side, in the community column. And the substantial opposition, like Carton, I think, mentioned in the last meeting, this is something subjective in the sense that there is no definition of what substantial is. So, you know, if I look at the GAC early warning advice, I can see, you know, a substantial opposition if you look at all the countries that are included in that warning. Targeting and detriment, I have to think about it. So, but those are my two opinions on the first two. So if I come up with something else on the other two, I would definitely raise my hand again.
Okay. I don't know if this mainly makes it. Thank you, Eduardo. This is David Nat speaking. You know, I was trying to research this thing, and I realized that Amazon itself operates Amazon.com. I'm going to call Amazon.com the commercial entity here. The Amazon.com commercial entity operates in Brazil, in fact. In fact, it has Amazon.com.br. I don't know if this really changes that, well, if it's recognized by Brazil. Do you think that really changes anything in terms of detriment? Because, I mean, the fact that it's operating in Brazil, without any, how should I put it, perceived objections. I just wanted to just ask people these questions. Olivier, please go ahead. And I see Olivier
much.
First.
Thank you very much, David. So, Olivier, for the transcript record. Do you know whether there are any objections to Amazon having the name Amazon.com.br in Brazil? I think that might be the first question you might wish to ask.
Well, as far as I could tell... Okay, go on. Sorry.
The other thing. Thank you. The other thing was I'm not sure. This is just a question here. Do you think though that the fact that an organization runs under a certain name in a certain location makes it any better or any worse for the community itself? Because I think that a community objection would basically be looking at whether the use of that name would be better or worse for the community itself that is affected by the use of that name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks, Olivier.
Thanks.
Okay. Good. Eduardo, you have the floor?
I'm looking at the bullets. This is a random list for the record, sorry. I'm looking at the bullets, and I think the thing here is the fact that the application for .amazon is restricted in the sense that they will not allow second-level names. Just, you know, it would be only for the business. And within that respect, I think there will be a detriment. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that well, because all those countries and people that live around the Amazon basin will not be able to link any of their business or whatever to those .amazon domains, even though they are in the Amazon.
Okay.
Now, when you look at the nature and extent of damage, you know, how can you define the extent of damage? And even if the evidence that the applicant is not acting or does not intend to act in accordance with the interest of the community, the only thing I can think about that one is that it should be restricted at the second level. That's my opinion.
Yes. Thank you, Eduardo. This is probably why there is a table. Actually, probably is a good way of scoring these things. I suspect. Going through each of these tests is going to be the real challenge. In terms of coming up with whether the objector meets all four tests in the standard for the objection to prevail. I see Garth is now entering the chat room there. Hello, Garth. So going back into what Olivia was saying, I think that the Amazon.com company does operate in Brazil. It's offering new services and so forth in Brazil. I think in December it did announce various new services, and that's how I found out about it had a domain name there and so forth. But you're probably right. It probably does not really match this. The existence of the domain name, and especially there's a .com, which is a commercial entity, means that it doesn't really affect the material comments regarding the community objection test. So I would like this to figure out, does anybody have any particular comments in regarding the table? Because I'm thinking possibly the next steps regarding this is to actually, for all of us, to actually score Amazon, in terms of the comments received, and go through each of these points. For example, I think if you look at, say, the clearly delineated community, I am thinking, yes, it is a specific territory and has particular borders, and it overlays several countries. So I think in terms of level of public recognition, that that exists. The level of formal boundaries around the community, I think that also exists. Length of time, that has been around for quite some time. I don't think the global distribution applies. And the number of people or entities that make up the community, Well, I would say the I guess it's really the population there in that territory, and therefore the other countries all that have persons in that territory. That Amazon region covers. So I think from the comments received that yes, there is a clearly delineated community. I don't know if anybody has. I'm seeing questions being raised here. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, David. So Olivier Capanabro for the transcript records. Another question, or just a point of detail. You referred to Amazon, but actually the company name is Amazon.com Incorporated. It is Amazon.com. So Amazon.com.br could be taken as being the full name Amazon.com under .br. But
excellent,
Amazon by itself is a questionable thing because even in its share value, it is Amazon.com Incorporated. Thank you.
Thanks for pointing that out, Olivier. So, yeah. So, Adela? Please go ahead. You have the floor.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Adela. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is Adela Danchuk speaking. Actually, I was hoping, sorry for the question, but I was trying to figure out Justine's second question about the scope of new GTLD. Yes, if this GTLD was addressed in the GAC warning, are we still looking into it deeply and we are still considering raising an ALAC objection on it? Or is it, let's say, almost certain that the GAC will advise against and will actually raise its own opposition to this GTLD? I'm asking this because I don't know all the details of the process. For the sake of efficiency, what is actually our further aim and this working group leading to? We need to, as far as I understand, we have to pick up a couple of comments on this GTLD to raise an objection that will further go to the dispute panel.
Okay,
right?
Thanks, Adela. A lot of questions there. Okay, let me see if I could tackle them. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry for the...
I hope I'm able to answer them, but of course, just let me know if I miss one. Okay, so thanks, Adela. In terms of the GAC advice, the intent here is to notify the applicant that governments in the GAC, some governments in the GAC have concerns about the application, and that's what the link about gacweb.icann.org refers to. The applicant choose to respond to the GAC directly and or possibly make a change in their application to allay any concerns as such. To date, I don't think there has been any changes from the applicant in this regard. Now, the advice means that if it continues, then potentially the governments can do certain things. They can, of course, file the objection directly, right, and formally file it with the dispute resolution service provider. And you're right, it is a complex process. But from what I understand is that if the GAC gives advice to the board, the board will then have to then, the ICANN board itself will then have to respond as to whether it accepts the advice and reject the application, because I think that's what the remedial solution from the DAC advice is saying. Or if it decides to ignore the advice, it has to then provide its reasons for doing so. Yeah. So, and yes, indeed, the applicant can withdraw unilaterally on its own and receive a refund of most of its application fee. So that's the one thing. The second thing is regarding the substantial community. And actually, I was going to lead into that. The substantial opposition within the identified community. This is, I think, was also the big concern we got, and the first call is like, how do we define substantial opposition? And I just want to put this suggestion out there. Given that it is the ALAC that is formally filing the objection, the fact that the process required a demonstration of support by the global at-large community, would that qualify? And if you remember, the objection statement has to be supported by at least three or more regions of the at-large community, and then the ALAC then has to support it. Would the expressions of support by at least three regions considered be defined as substantial opposition? I'm just putting that out there. What do you all think about that? Okay, I see Justin thinks that she thinks so.
This is Eduardo Diaz. I need I need clarification here. When, let's say that this group decided to submit this to the ALAC as an object, how you call this, community objection. We're using this. The comments that came to us, the objections that came to us, we are discussing that right now. But eventually, are we going to put together a statement, an objection coming from ALAC? Is that the work?
Thank you. Thank you, Eduardo. Yes. The idea would be that we would then look at if we decide, after we probably should score the community objection test, and once we determine that, okay, after we score it, that the objection meets all the four tests, community, substantial opposition, targeting, detriment. Once that is scored, then we the review group then tries to work, presumably ideally with the person who made the comments, to come up with an objection statement, which is, of a particular format, 5,000 words or less. Okay. And then, once that statement is published by mid-February at the very latest, because the RELOs, all five RELOs, have to then look at that statement and then, decide whether to approve or disapprove of the statement. And then the ALAP then takes that advice from at least three RELOs. If three RELOs said we support this objection, then the ALAC then has to consider whether to accept the advice from the three or more RELOs. So, does that make do you understand, Eduardo?
Yes, I understood that. So, let's say this subcommittee goes ahead and move this forward to the ALAC. I mean, if the ALAC supports that, that's a major substantial opposition right there for coming from the community.
Actually, I didn't quite catch that, Eduardo. Could you repeat that again?
Yes. I'm talking about the substantial opposition. Let's say the .Amazon website, it should go through and submit it to the ALAC. And if the ALAC supports that objection, that's a substantial opposition at that moment.
from the community. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying that? Go on, finish. Sorry.
This is what I'm talking, because here we have one statement for an opposition, right? And you know, when you look at the number of expression of opposition, then you say, well, I have only one. You know, from you know, I'm not looking at the gag early warning. I just received one. So is that a correct number? Versus if it goes to the ALAC and gets approved, then there's not only one, but it's the ALAC, which is composed of many, you know, of an at large type. I mean, it would be bigger. Does it make sense what I'm trying to say?
Okay. Well, all right. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that just looking at the one comment on the wiki, you know, that doesn't signify a large enough a number of expressions of opposition. But I mean, we could take, I mean, if, and again, this is a if, we can take the comments that have been published by, you know, what the governments of Brazil and Peru have stated, and that's an indicator of the number of expressions, and we can then, and wouldn't that be increasing the number of expressions of opposition and, you know, also quantifies the representative nature of entities expressing the opposition? What, Eduardo? I mean, as a follow-up?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I was reading some of the chat here. I didn't hear.
Okay.
Yes,
All right. Okay. My what I'm saying is that we can also look at the GAC evidence, the GAC advice, as also an expression of opposition relative to the composition of the community. So the thing is, and this is going to be the dilemma. And unfortunately, the way this is structured is that we can't decide that. Okay, if we can do several things. We can score it and then say, well, is it really worth objecting, as Olivier is typing it out here, I'm seeing. Is it worth filing the objection? Because at the time of March, when the ALAC has to then review any real advice, by then, the initial evaluation results would be published regarding what the panels have looked at and so forth and so on. And then the ALAC has to decide, well, is it worth doing it? We could also make that. We can also make that determination now. And I admit it's a very hard thing. It's a very hard thing, and I don't think there's an easy answer. So obviously, I want to get some feedback here. I'm just looking at the comments. Yes, answer Justine. Even if ALAC was to consider objecting, the review group still has to consider the test because any objection has to meet all four tests. Yes, that is the review group will have to consider that. Because if we don't prove it, and if we can't prove it, then the objection would fail. I mean, we can draft the statement, of course, file the objection, but if it, you know, the dispute resolution service provider will then look at the objection statement and, based on the evidence presented, you know, well, say, well, you know, it disfeels the test, and therefore our objection is denied. The GAC advice, I think, is a slightly different thing. It doesn't go to the dispute resolution service provider. It goes more to the ICANN board for the advice to be considered by the ICANN board, and the ICANN board then agrees with or disagrees with the GAC advice. The GAC, the individual national governments, can file an objection directly with the dispute resolution service provider. So Fatimata, sorry, please. Oh no, this is not. She's not. Oh, where's one? So, so let me, Eduardo, please go ahead.
And again, this is Eduardo Diaz. So the thing is, you know, if we decide to go to support the .Amazon, what we need to do is to come up with a statement just similar to what the .NYC did, that went to each one of those and then write something that would support the four tests.
Okay.
Because, you know, if I look at the objection that we received, basically, I mean, I don't know if the targeting is a detriment. I mean, I can assume some things, but, you know, it was like a general thing that was said. And really, they didn't answer all these questions in the objection that we received.
Okay.
I think the question is this subcommittee things that we will be able to write something that will support this, or, you know, this test when we submit to the ALAC, because, you know, if the ALAC decides to go ahead and approve it, then we just want to make sure that, you know, we can pass this test in whatever we decide to write.
Yeah, this is going to be the difficult challenge here. And unfortunately, this is the problem. If there was more, you see, ideally what should have happened was that the concerns raised early on, and then a lot of the at-large community got involved in the discussions and so forth. You know, and therefore, once you have a wide body of expressions, you know, explaining what I think this, yes or no, or whatever, then it becomes easier for us to evaluate. When it's only a very small comment, it becomes extremely difficult to, well, apply the four tests, as we are now finding it difficult to do. Let me suggest the way forward here. Regarding .Amazon, let's try to score, use the table that Adela's now provided, and then see whether we could score all of these things. And by, say, the next meeting Olivia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deb. I wasn't going to ask, it's Olivia here, I wasn't going to ask that you stop in the middle of the sentence, but since you're going to consider this table, I was just going to say exactly this, you know, same as you. Go through the table, find out if you can answer those questions before assuming whether you can or can't. But then there's nothing wrong also in you going to your community. You're part of at large. Go out there, email those ALSs that are affected by this and ask them the question.
I agree.
I would think that would be a fantastic way actually to make use of our network. We have a global footprint. So we can reach those communities that might be directly affected by this. If those communities come back to you and say, absolutely, heck yes, we are affected by that, we don't like it, then go ahead and make your decision on that. If those communities come back and say, actually, we're not really bothered about this, then at that point you can make your decision accordingly as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I think, Olivia, thank you very much, Olivia. I think that's a good suggestion. And I see Eduardo had agreed with that. Fatimata, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Fatimata for the record. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with Olivier and would suggest that, for example, La Claro should provide, you know, a kind of advice after consulting with the ILSs. And that will at least help us to see how large the community is involved and how large the community also feels that it will be affected by .Amazon, for example.
Okay.
I also know that it is quite difficult for us as RALOs to get sometimes feedback from the ILSs. For example, for .Africa, I know that Baudouin sent a very short comment. supporting .Africa. We even don't know which applicants it was about, as we had two applicants. And Dave, you know that I sent several mails to Baudouin, but didn't get an answer. So sometimes it's quite difficult for us to get the answers from the ILS.
Okay. Thank you, Fatima. And indeed, yes, I do recall those messages. Yoru, please go ahead, and then I'll come up with the action item for this. Go ahead, Yoru.
Yeah, this is Uriel Ansipuro for the transcript record. I'm sorry to repeat what I said last time, but I think that the four criteria are great in distinguishing between various applicants and applications and objections. When we talk about, when there is one community, we talk about one community. That is to say, in this case, which we are discussing, that would be the Amazonian geographic community in South America. However, the community targeted by the Amazon.com is entirely different. That is the users of that bookshop around the world. And here we come to these difficulties. The principle is the same thing. It also applies to Patagonia. Patagonia is not targeted to the people in living in the southern tip of South America, but users of outdoor equipment and clothing and so on and so forth. And there are many, many more cases if we open this sort of Pandora's box. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Yoru. Indeed, okay. Nobody else has raised any further comments. So let me continue on the way forward for this. And I'm going to do this for regarding .Amazon and I guess for .Patagonia. I think I'm the only one from the Latin American Caribbean region so on this call. So the action item would be for me to forward the four tests and to ask the at-large structures in the region whether they agree, what do they think about the comments regarding this, and try to get more documented support to see whether they object or they do not object or they're not that interested. I think what Olivia has suggested is I think the way to go. And hopefully by the time of the next call, and I know we have to talk about that comment. Olivia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dev. It's Olivia for the transcript record. And I guess you could also find out if anybody in our community is an Amazon.com customer, and they would be part of the Amazon community as far as the commercial entity is concerned, and get their point of view. If you wanted to go that far, you know, we've got people in both communities.
True. Okay. All right, so I think that will be the action item for .Amazon and for .Patagonia. I think we think also the using this table, I think we also just need to go through again. And hopefully by the next time of the conference call, which I'm anticipating is going to be next week, Friday. I'm jumping ahead of the agenda there. But we'll have some more definitive answers from the at-large community, and then we can make a final decision. Okay, we're going to try to draft something or not. Okay, so I'll work on that email and send it out to the Lakwalo list. And of course, I guess I should, as I say, broaden it. I should probably send it to all the Wailo list. Actually, come to think of it, so I'll undertake that. Yes, thank you, and get the objector to help substantiate the objection further based on the test. And thanks, Justine. With that in mind, Eduardo, please. Go ahead.
This is Eduardo, yes, for the record. Just a quick comment. I think going forward, I think what Olivier, by the way, is suggesting is a great idea. But, you know, going forward, I think we should ask a question to ourselves instead of this trying to answer this question based on the objection that we received. We should ask the question, do we Do we agree that this is something that has a merit, and we as a group, can we put something together that will support these tests to submit to ALAC? That's a better, because, you know, what I have seen is only one objection for some of these things, and it will never pass this test if you look at what people plan. So that it's very hard to go through all this and say, this applies to the objection that was received. That's only my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Eduardo. Okay. Can I then move on to, like, say, .nyc? Because I think there's actually been a lot more substantive comments provided by Thomas, actually. Great. Olivia, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, David. It's Olivia for the transcript. And I wanted just to respond to Eduardo's suggestion here. I understand that it would be an easy thing to, or it would make certainly this working group's work slightly easier if it was going to give the final say to the ALAC. However, I think that the way that we have done on this one is this working group does need to make recommendations. So it cannot just say, we're not sure about this one, you decide. That's all. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, ultimately, it is a... Sorry, finish.
I'm sorry, this is Eduardo yes again. That's not what I really wanted to say. I mean, I agree with you, Oliver, which you cannot go to a life that, you know, you decide yourself. What I'm saying is, this subcommittee, the way we should look at this is, you know, we receive an objection and we go through this in a general terms. So from this objection, do we agree at the subcommittee that we can put together the statement that will answer all, will pass all these tests? And then whatever statement we submit, we send that recommendation to ALAC to support or not. I wasn't saying that, you know, that we should send this, whatever, to the ALAC for them, you know, to decide if to recommend it or not. I hope I'm clear. Thank you.
Okay, Eduardo, thanks. Okay. I think we spent quite a bit of time on this, on the two things here. So let's... Can we now just, let's look at the .nyc. Thomas has actually provided a lot of comments regarding .nyc, and I just, I see Thomas himself has actually posted a link to the comments here. So, and in fact, Thomas has actually done a lot of the groundwork, I must say, and I must commend him for this. He has tried to address the four tests as such in the comment. So has anyone had a chance to opt to read any of this stuff, any of the comments regarding .nyc, and wish to then make any observations or comments? Or do we need to study this further? I see Justine is typing. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess I have one. I guess there's something about this that I'm trying to understand here. The .gov TLD is something that's administered by the U.S. government. Am I correct? And if so, the fact that .nyc is used by there's a nyc.gov website, which refers to the five counties, the city of New York, and they refer to the boroughs of the Bronx, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, Manhattan. So, So I'm trying to understand a little bit more clearly as to what Thomas is referring to in terms of the community of opposition, in the sense that okay, the city of New York is applying to run this TLD. This is what the application is, and in the application they talk of, well, we're going to apply various tests to ensure has a policy of ensuring that only entities, persons within the dot, within New York City, can apply for a .nyc domain. So, I don't know if anybody wishes to answer this, but what exactly is the material detriment here that I'm not seeing it, the material detriment, because I note in the application the NYC.government says that it's planning to establish a board to help. I'm trying to find the link here. In this digital roadmap, they say here on page 51 of this, the City of New York will establish a community advisory board and convene public listening sessions to encourage meaningful input into the development of the .nyc strategy. So, I don't know if Tom, if nobody else from the review group wishes to say anything. How is this a detriment to the New York City community?
No.
All right. You can hear me,
Thomas? Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. There has not been a formal process of creating that community advisory board. There has not been any listening sessions by city government in preparation of that application. So and what is the detriment of that is that the city will be, that the application will go forward, let's presume for the moment that doesn't happen. You know, there's going to be a new election in November in New York. There's nothing in the application to ICANN that refers to any outreach of any sort. There's no commitment there. There's no requirement for that. So this community advisory board, while I hear it's going to be formed, and I'm very much looking forward to it, it has been 6 months at this point since it was announced in the digital roadmap, and nothing has happened. And with this filing, they have gotten a little more, with this objection filing, they have, spoken to connecting.nyc and indicated that, oh, they surely are going to form this. It has not happened. And I think the idea of, how a TLD will affect the city, how a city can, how it can change its central nervous system, essentially, by implementing an organized naming structure, will be a significant factor in the viability of different cities over the years. So if New York City doesn't do this well, if 5 years down the road, .Chicago and whomever else has not yet applied for a TLD, learns from the mistakes of these existing TLDs who may not have adequately taken into consideration the needs and the voices of individual Internet users, those cities will be at a disadvantage. So it is essential that the City of New York participate in a listening session with the Community Advisory Board and engage the individual Internet users, its residents, its citizens, in figuring out how this works, not just go out and speak to a contractor and have an IT agency come up with a plan of this sort.
Okay. Well, thanks, Thomas. Quite a bit to digest there, but Does anybody from the review group have any thoughts or questions or comments regarding .nyc, or is it that we need more time to now review the comments a little bit more in depth?
My apologies for running on so long on it.
That's fine. This is Dave. Not a problem. I think more information is better than less information. This is Dave, though. One quick follow-up question then. If I was to understand this, the way the city government decided to operate this was that it then issued a request for proposals for operating .nyc, and then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it received only one proposal, which is, this application is the manifestation of this proposal to run .nyc in this particular manner. Am I correct?
I do believe.
Was there an application to do a community, to operate this as a community TLD?
The city has not announced that process. I would have to file a form. There's no transparency on the process they followed in that regard. I know, for example, that CORE has stated that they applied for the .nyc top-level domain as well to be the agent for the city in that regard, and I'm told, and I have not seen this in hand, that their application was that they submitted two applications as was required, that the applicant had to have two applications, one for a standard TLD, one for a community TLD. Now, CORE submitted both applications, I'm told. I don't know whether Newstar did and the city chose this one or this was a negotiated one. There's no transparency at all on that. I have no idea how it came about. And I don't know whether someone else might have applied as well beyond CORE. I know VeriSign was at one point planning on applying. I don't know if they did or not.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Thomas. Let's see. Anybody has any comments on this? Because I guess I suspect that the way forward would be to, all right, for us to really review all the comments that you've posted, and at least there's a lot of information there that can then be looked at. Justine, you want to ask a procedural question, please. By all means, you can do so. Do you have audio, Justine, or you can only type it? Thank you. Okay, Justine, I think I'll repeat the question for Thomas. Okay, Thomas, not sure if you're in the room or not, but Justine has asked a question. Are you, as the objector, asking for abeyance of the application, or are you objecting? Sorry, let me start again. This .nyc application is stated as a geographic name and not as a community-based TLD. Are you asking for abeyance of the application, or are you objecting to .nyc being created at all?
I would think that if they have a community advisory board and they have a public listening session, they will conclude that .nyc or .New York, I am in favor of having a TLD for New York City, for the New York City region, hopefully. And that might be their .nyc, .New York, or .New York City. They submitted the application as .nyc without having engaged the public at all in any part of the multi-stakeholder process. This was a government-developed proposition. They should discuss with the people in the affected community and make a decision and decide on which name to go forward with. Does that answer the question?
Well, thanks. I hope I see Justine is typing, so.
And what we're saying while she's typing, I don't want to be too distracted here, is that, you know, while we've supported this. I mean, we started out 12 years ago, we started out supporting the idea. But we want it to be a TLD that develops the city. And they haven't really listened to the public. They're going ahead blindly at this point without having engaged the public in any hearings at all. And that needs to be done. And, should have been done before the contract was signed, you know. What can be done, considering the fact that they signed a contract with Newstar to operate this thing, is, that's another difficult issue, and that's one of the issues, that's one of the questions, big questions that will arise in the Community Advisory Board hearings, which, again, have been promised, but there's been no announcement of membership, the support for it, the type of meetings they'll have or such. So, but we do support a city TLD. Any one of those, as long as the public has engaged in the process.
Okay, Thomas. Okay, thank you. Just to answer Justine's question, so can the review group make a recommendation to call for an abeyance of the application, or just whether an application should be allowed to proceed or rejected? The review group can't make a recommendation to halt the application as such, or to hold it in abeyance. The objection process is exactly that. You object for the TLD to be created or approved to go into the route. So I hope that answers the question, Justine.
So it's a yes or no. You have to make, this is Tom Lowenhaupt for the record. So just to clarify for my own purpose here, that if we are calling for an abeyance, that's outside the rules, and we would have to, our only choice would be to call for a rejection of it under the current circumstance.
This is Dave? Yes, that is it. There's no way that we can alter the application as such. It's only to object to that we do not approve of this TLD to be created and be put into root by this applicant.
All right, very good.
So, yes,
well, we will then, Tom Lowenhaupt for the record, we will then look at the application, our comments and the application, and have to clarify that then, that since the abeyance is not a potential outcome, and we will provide additional information to you prior to your next meeting.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. I think, thanks, Thomas, and thanks, Justine, for the question. I know we're jumping ahead of time here, and I wanted us to wrap up probably within the next 10 minutes tops here. So, Thomas, I think, well, so if you provide more information, thanks for that. And I think by our next call, we'll have some more information as to really decide as to what to do in terms of the scoring of this community objection, whether the threshold is met by the four tests. And I suggest what the recommendation will be for the review group to then, well, obviously reviewing the comments, and then looking at the four tests here and doing a check mark on each of these tests and to see whether the comments really will pass the four tests. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item. And apologies for overextending this, for going over time a bit here, but as this is something new for the very first time, I think we're just all trying to figure out how to do this the most appropriate way. We received a comment regarding Dot Health I'm trying to find the originator of the comment here. Hold on. I posted it at the very beginning. Here it is. From the International Medical Informatics Association. If no one objects, I will probably like to then put this comment up on the wiki, and then have the at-large community comment on it. Does anyone object to this at this point, or have any concerns? with me doing that? Seeing lots of people typing. Okay, not a problem. I'm seeing yes from Fatima. If anybody objects, you know, put an X or raise their hand here at this point. Indeed, Adela, yes, the comment was received after the 16th of February. Well, indeed, so are we considering it? I would like to say yes, we should make the effort to consider it. But again, this is why it is the choice of the audio review group to whether to consider it or not. So that's why I'm asking if there's any objection to this. For considering the comments made by on Thought Health. So, okay. So, can I ask all the members then? Do you wish to then, even though the comments received on Thought Health came after the deadline, do you wish to then consider it formally as to whether to draft an objection statement or not, as we are doing with the other previous strings, .amazon, .tve, .nyc, .patagonia, and so forth? Does anybody object? Can I see, therefore, ticks to whether to approve to look at the comments, to look at the comments on .health? I'm seeing Fatima is not against it. I'm seeing a tick from Fatima. Justine is indifferent. Okay. Eduardo Diaz says okay. Kenny Huang says yes. Who else? Adela? Okay, I'm seeing Adela still typing. Who else is on this call? Let's see. Actually, Gott. If Gott, I abstain. I'm not sure this will affect further proceedings or not. If we decide to consider and file an objection based on it. Okay, so Adela is abstaining. So, okay, well, all right. Well, then, if there's no objections as such, I will put the comment up on the wiki, and again, as an action item, informs that a comment was received and will therefore be considered then. So that will be the action item regarding this comment by this comment on .health. Olivia, please. Olivia, please go ahead. Hello, Olivia. I'm not hearing you, so you may be muted.
Thank you, David. Olivia, for the transcript record. I had misheard. I thought you had called someone else on the floor. You are speaking, of course, about the latest note which was received by the working group. Have you also informed the working group of the note by Rosa Delgado regarding .health?
Well, the email was, I don't think that was, I understand that what happened was that Rosado contacted Uralo, and then Uralo, forwarded the comments to me. So It was not published as such. So they have now gone ahead and formally posted this to the new GTLD RG list at that link. And I'll post it again. And I have not even read this link, read the comments yet as such. So I have no idea, and I don't expect anybody to have an opinion on it either way, given it just came within a few hours before this call. So given that no one is really objecting no one has objected to it, most approve, there was one abstention, and, well, Justine was indifferent, so I assume that also means abstain in a sense. Given that, therefore, we'll go ahead and put it up on the wiki and then, start the comment process. And by the time of the next call, we'll look at the comments and look at the comments itself and whether it really falls under community or limited public interest grounds. Is there anybody who disagrees with that action item going forward? Going once, going twice, going thrice. I don't know what the fourth. Okay. All right. So I think that's that as an action item then, which I'll do myself and put it up on the wiki. Okay. So final agenda item. The next review group call. Given that we're going to have to get some feedback from the Latin American Caribbean communities and the at-large community on .Amazon and .Patagonia, and also, to give time for a transcript of this call to be produced in time for, say, I think Tuesday at the latest, may I suggest that the next call be next week Friday? And this obviously does not mean that we can, of course, continue to email each other on the list and so forth and have the discussions on the wiki. Is there any objection for that? So the next call would be February 1st. Okay? And Gisela would send out a doodle poll for the timing of that on that day. Okay, any objections? Well, to answer Eduardo, no, a doodle would be sent out. It may be, but it may not be. But when you can respond to the doodle accordingly. Okay, any objections, any thoughts, any comments? Oh, Eduardo, go ahead.
No, this is Eduardo. I mistakenly did the wrong thing. Thank you.
Sorry, Eduardo. I didn't quite catch that.
This is Eduardo. I didn't raise my hand. I just clicked the wrong button.
Oh,
sorry.
I see. Okay. All right. Any other business? Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts?
Going once, going twice.
Okay. All right. So we have, just to summarize quickly, we have several action items. I will draft an email regarding comments regarding .Amazon and Patagonia and to try to get some more documented support or indifference from the community. Okay, and the reason why we want to do this is to get the objector to substantiate to help substantiate this objection further based on the test. Okay. Secondly, we'll review the comments on DAF NYC and look at the four tests again. And I would like to say by next week Friday, we'll make some more definite statements as, okay, we are going to proceed with this or we are not going to proceed with this. So the expectation is by the next call on February 1st, we'll make a final decision as to whether to go ahead and draft a statement or not. And I would like to get also to finalize that in time for the next call. So hopefully we'll get enough comments on .Amazon and .Patagonia. And I think those are the key action items then. Great. Okay. Thank you so very much for your time and your dedication to this. This is going to be an interesting challenge for all of us, and I'm looking forward to the next call and to sort this all out. So thank you all again for this, and apologies for taking longer than 1 hour on this. And send your comments on the list, post it on the wiki, and let's continue discussion so that we'll be ready next week for February 1st. Okay? Thank you all. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely
day. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Viv. Great work.
Thanks, Olivier. Thanks again for the...
And enjoy your weekend break.
Yeah. Well, I have two more calls, so...
No.
Super.
Take care. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.